Well, good morning. Good to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us. Let's jump right in because we've got a long way to go this morning. We've been in the middle of this 30-week journey entitled Believe. And if you've been here with us from the very beginning, you'll know we're spending 10 weeks. 10 weeks. The first 10 weeks was all about these great doctrines of the church. And we talked about all those. The last 10 weeks, of which today's the 10th week, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines of a believer. Here's a list of some of the things that we've talked about over the last number of weeks. Last week, Brother Don shared with you. I want to appreciate him filling the pulpit last Sunday. Finished up talking about giving. And now today we're going to jump into the 10th subject about the spiritual disciplines, and that is talking about sharing our faith. You know, it's interesting because, we just got back from vacation, and I knew that this was a subject matter when I got home, so it kind of shaped how I experienced this week away, and it was really interesting because God really taught me something. And it all started with this understanding of how easy it is that we talk with strangers, okay? In our culture today and in the political correct culture that we have today, it's amazing how some things just kind of roll off your tongue and how other things don't. For example, while we were gone, it was really easy to talk about several things. The weather. You know, I mean, it's hard to believe that 72 hours ago, I was laying on a beach and it was 85 degrees, okay? You know, God, why are you, you know? And now we're here. But it's really easy because people would ask, you know, you'd meet strangers, say, where are you from? Well, I'm from Pennsylvania. Oh, my gosh, I bet it's cold there, huh? Yeah, it's cold there. Guy next to me is like, well, I'm from Alberta, Canada. You think it's cold in Pennsylvania? Come to my part of Canada, you know? And he's talking about how, you know, the wind chill was 300 below zero or something. And it's just amazing how easy it is that we talk about things like that, you know? How's the weather today? What's the weather like where you're from? Man, isn't this beautiful weather? Yeah, it just rolls off. Or how easy it is to talk about fashion. You know, it was amazing because Arlene and I, when we flew home Friday, we got on the airplane in South Florida. We were actually at the gate waiting to get on, and they called us up to the counter, and the lady said, we need to change your seats. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, where are you going to put me? And she's going on, and I'm just kind of standing there waiting on her to tell me, you know, you need to sit back by the toilet in the back of the plane. And Arlene said to her, I love your scarf. And all of a sudden, this lady just stopped what she was doing, and Arlene and her just had this fashion experience that I've never had with a man. I've never had a man say, I love your shoes. Where did you get those? It happens all the time with her. Well, here's the thing. Next thing I knew, this lady said, I'm going to put you in first class. And I'm like, I love this woman. Talking about Arlene, not her, right? Because Arlene's just her fashion experience with this woman literally got us in a first class seat. That was awesome, you know? And isn't it amazing though how we do that? How it's so easy to talk about. Where did you get that? Just this morning, Arlene, she rode to church with Claire. I came quite early and I was there outside when her and Claire pulled up, and as they got out of the car, they're walking in. I said to them, I said, well, I'm glad you guys decided to join us today. They were here a little late. But anyway, and Claire had said to Arlene, as they were walking across the parking lot, she said, I love that top. Where did you get that? And Arlene, true story, Arlene said, I bought this at Cracker Barrel. I got this at Cracker Barrel. And it's like, I didn't even know Cracker Barrel sold clothes. But anyway, and, you know, me, I chimed in and I said, you know, I got this at Cracker Barrel. And they had a little, we had a little moment there. But isn't it funny how easy it is to talk about the weather, talk about fashion, talk about our favorite TV shows, what we're going to watch, how it's easy to talk about sports, especially this time of year. You know, while we were gone, I was in this one lounge watching the football game at night, and here was this guy. He was actually the guy from Alberta, and it was like we were best friends talking about football. You know, talking about our team and talking about the quarterback and what we thought were going to happen, how we hated the guys that were rooting for the other team behind us and all this kind of stuff. It was just so easy. We had never met. or talk about sporting events. Actually, while I was gone, this one guy, they were ragging on the government, and he looked right at me, and he said, "What do you think of President Obama?" I just was speechless for a moment, and, you know, you're scared to death what I'm going to say next, aren't you? Isn't it amazing, though, how it just things like that. You know about our kids. I don't know about you, but I've shown a picture to my new grandson to 79 total strangers. I'm keeping count. You know, the woman at the young girl at Taco Bell and the new teller at the bank. You know, if you're here today and you'd like to see a picture of my grandson, you're here for the first time, see me in the back. I'll tell you about Jesus, and I'll show you a picture of Jack all at the same time, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm so proud of my kids and who they are as adults. I love to talk about my kids. I love for people to bring up, you know, about how many children do you have? And, man, I'm ready, right? You want to hear the crickets in the room? Bring up Jesus. I mean, when everybody else is talking about whatever, in this politically incorrect or correct culture, just bring up Jesus. I mean, in the room of non-believers, just put it out there that I love Jesus Christ and I live by his words. I mean, if you want to stop the conversation, just bring up Jesus. You see, folks, it's so interesting that we live in a time when we can talk about everything except that thing that is most important or should be most important to us. Our key idea today is that I share my faith with others to fulfill God's purposes. That, in other words, one of the reasons that God put us here is so that we can help other people find their way to heaven or find their way to God. Experience salvation in Him. I mean, that's one of the grandest reasons why we're here. I mean, God has saved us. God has promised us heaven, and He wants us to bring as many people as we can along with us. But have you ever wondered if God said that we're to show up at the pearly gates with everybody that we've led to the Lord, you're going to be by yourself? Or are you going to have other people with you? I mean, if we're going to show up with the people that we've influenced about faith and about knowing God and serving God, how many people are going to be in line with us? Because you see, folks, as believers, as people that love God, we have to be so caught up in this desire to wanting so as many people as possible to know Him too. Have you ever wondered about the passage in Romans that talks about, that ask four questions? I find this passage really intriguing because there's a passage in Romans, and I'll read it to you here in just a minute, but it's a passage that is four questions, just boom, 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 boom. Have you ever spoken like that? It usually happens with us the same way that it happened with the Apostle Paul. If you read the context of Romans chapter 10, Paul is talking about Christ. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the promise of eternal life. And he's talking about people and two people that just don't get it. And he's talking about how what God has done through Christ, what God wants to do in Christ, what God wants us to experience in Him. And he almost gets exasperated with the audience. And so he just rattles off this series of questions. You know, we do this all the time, right? Some of you guys are going to do this today, okay? You're going to be watching a football game, and somebody's going to say about something about one of the teams on there or the quarterback on there, and you're going to listen, and you're going to say some things and try to convince them of some other point of view. And finally, out of exasperation, they're going to say things like, "Well, what did Pittsburgh do this year? Or how about Ben Roethlisberger? How good is he?" You know, they're going to rattle off these questions to try to make their point about how they're right, about their point of view. And I almost feel like that's exactly what's going on with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Look, here's the four questions. He says, "How then can they call on one they've not believed in?" Question one. Question two, "And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard?" Question three, "And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Question four, "And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" Just question, 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 question. In other words, he's talking about salvation. And out of desperation, out of exasperation, he says, well, how can they call on one that they've not believed in? How can they believe in someone that they've not heard about? And how can they hear unless they have a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? You see, folks, you and I need to understand that this thing that we do called evangelism, called sharing our faith, is absolutely crucial. You know why? Because we are only one generation away from an extinction of our faith. We're only one generation away from faith disappearing in a great way in our society and in our land. I love what Randy Frazee said in his book pertaining to the chapter this week. He said, putting our message on the defense is a brilliant and clear strategy of Satan to keep people from hearing about salvation. Isn't that an interesting phrase? An interesting sentence. Where he's talking about how the devil, by strategy, wants us to be quiet about our faith. So I ask you this morning, why is it so easy to talk about the weather? To talk about television? To talk about our kids? Why is it so easy to talk about all these things and then so difficult to talk about Jesus? I mean, do you love football, sports, more than you love Christ? I mean, do you love buying clothes and looking good more than you love Christ? I don't think so. I don't believe that for a moment. But you see, Satan has this strategy that as long as he keeps us quiet, as long as we don't show the world that Jesus and faith in God is the most important thing to us, as long as we're quiet about this thing called faith, then maybe he will have a foothold in the lives of the people that are around us. See, I think what he does is that he keeps us from seeing the urgency of what's going on around us. You see, as ambassadors for Christ, and think about that. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. We're ambassadors for Christ. What does that look like? Well, what it looks like is that we understand the urgency of this endeavor that we are a part of. That when it comes to life, that this life is only a small speck in the span of eternity. And that the time that we spend here is almost nothing compared to eternity. You know, I heard somebody say one time, they said, hey, describe to me what eternity is like. How long is eternity? And someone said that eternity is the amount of time that it takes one sparrow to fly down and dip its beak in the Atlantic Ocean and get one drop of water out of the Atlantic Ocean and then to fly cross country to the West Coast and deposit that one drop of water in the Pacific Ocean and then to fly back across the United States, across the continent and get one more drop of water and then fly back over to the Pacific Ocean and deposit that drop of water. And eternity is the time that it'll take one sparrow to empty one ocean into the other. It's a long time. And I think so much the devil just tricks us into thinking that the only thing that matters is the amount of time that we have here. And you know what? If all that matters is the amount of time that we have here, we will never, as Christians, have the urgency of sharing our faith with others. Until we come to understand that heaven is real, that hell is real, and that this life determines where we spend eternity. And if we know Jesus Christ, then we have the hope of eternal life with him in heaven. But if we die outside of knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we will spend eternity apart from him. You know, I think it's amazing. The passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It's our key verse today. It comes from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Look what he says. He says, pray also for me, that whatever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You know, when you look at this passage of scripture, and he says here that whenever I speak, let me tell you something, folks. If you just think that passage of scripture applies to what I'm doing right now in this moment, standing up here in front of you, you're dead wrong. When Paul says, whenever I speak, he's not just talking about when someone stands before an assembly like I'm doing this morning and we speak, we teach, we proclaim, we preach. He uses the term here that we are an ambassador for Christ, that he is an ambassador in chains. Think about it. What does an ambassador do? He takes a message from his leader to another nation, to another people. As ambassadors, we take the message of reconciliation from God to the people of the world, not just around the globe, but across the street. We don't speak our message only. We live our message. And it's not just what I'm doing here, but it's whenever we speak. When you talk to your family or your neighbors or your friends, or when you sit in an office and talk to your coworkers and the people that you spend your day with, whenever you speak, you are being a witness for God, a witness for something. What kind of witness are you being? You know, God taught me this in such a big way this past week. Because being gone, and you know how Arlene, you know, strangers are just friends that she hasn't met yet. You know, and she just strikes up a conversation about anything, you know, with anybody, and it's amazing, you know. And I'm kind of the same way. I find it so easy to talk about, you know, talk about the weather and talk about sports, talk about the kids, talk about, you know, well, not fashion. That's that you like. Anyway, you know what I mean? We find it so easy. But this past week, I had this experience that I want to share with you. It was quite amazing, and it happened a couple times. You know, I passed this one young person one day, and they had some slogan on their shirt that it was derogatory toward faith. It said something about religion kills people or something. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to try to tackle that. Now, that was right after I finished talking about the weather and sports and my kids and all this, and I was silent. Later in the week, I was actually in a lounge, on a lounging chair on a beach, and this young man came up and sat near me, and as I walked by him, I noticed his shirt said, and this was just exactly what it said. It said, Jesus hates. Jesus hates. And I go and I sit down, and all of a sudden it hits me, and I know I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you guys about this subject matter. And it just struck me that, you know what, I find it so easy to talk to people about everything. But then when you are encountered, when it's in front of you, something like that, it's the devil that says, you know what, just don't go there. Just be quiet. Don't even open that can. You can't make it. You know what I'm saying? And it got to the point, it's like, no, I gotta do something. You know, I walked by this young man and got his attention. And I just said to him, I said, that's not true. I don't even think he realized what shirt he had on. He's like, what? I said, your shirt, that's not true. And he kind of, you know how it is, he kind of smiled and kind of chuckled and said something under his breath. And anyway, I got in a small conversation with him. You know, I said, this is not true. You know, I'm thinking, okay, the other day I saw the shirt said religion, about religion, and I'm, you know, I talk to myself, don't, you know, and I might even kind of agree with that in some ways, that people in the name of religion has done some pretty awful things in the world, all this. But this one, no, that, your shirt is wrong. And listen, folks, we as believers, if we are silent about this wonderful thing that God has done for us, who's going to do it? Who's going to tell them? How are people going to come to know Christ? I mean, if we don't take serious when we speak, when we live, wherever we go, whatever we do, if we're not sharing the message of the gospel and reconciliation with God through Christ, who's going to do it? Nobody. So here's the thing. I want to encourage you today not to go by those opportunities to share your faith. Now, it always comes out to how, okay? People always say, okay, I believe you, John. I get it. As a Christian, I need to do this. But how do I do it? Because you know how it is. People are, the most feared thing in life is public speaking. You know, and it just scares people to death to actually talk to a stranger. But you know what, folks? That's not true because we do it so easily about everything that doesn't matter. But yet the devil has convinced us that we can't do it or we shouldn't do it with the thing that matters most. And there's something wrong with that. So here's my quick how-to this morning. Number one, share your story. I mean, in a large way, the only thing it takes to share your faith is to tell your story. Tell somebody where you came from and what God brought you through. What God has helped you with, what God has saved you from, what God has given you in life. The evil things of this world that are no longer tugging at your heart and the beautiful things of this world that are at the top of your priority list now. How before Christ you could not make the priority list that God wanted you to have in life. But now, because of Christ, you know the things that matter most, and the things that matter most are at the top of your list. Just tell your story. But here's the thing, you don't have to have an awful story. You don't even have to have a miraculous story. It just needs to be your story. What God has brought you through, from, over, around. You don't have to be perfect to tell your story. Your story don't just become validated when you reach perfection and then therefore you can go back and tell all the ugly parts. No, no, no. I'll never forget our good friend here, and you probably remember Patty Everett. Patty Everett, I remember her years ago. She used to talk about her son TJ and when he was kind of lost and you know, out in the world and things, and she would always say, he's just adding to his testimony. I can hear her saying that. He's just adding to his testimony. He's just adding to his testimony. Well, you know what? He didn't have to get to perfection, but he did get to a certain point where all of a sudden he began to tell that story, and it's a beautiful one. How God brought him through. So that's the first thing. Just tell your story. Just share with someone how God has helped you. Here's the second thing. Make sure that you can apply the word to life, to your life, and to the lives of other people as well. I mean, think about this, folks. As a Christian, you have a spiritual biography, a spiritual autobiography, and you need to tell that story to other people about how God has helped you in life. But you also need to come to a point where you understand the plan of salvation. You know what, folks? That is so crucial. Our junior high youth leader here, Angela, just shared with me this morning about how in one of the youth groups she had shared this survey, and in the survey she had asked kids how they came to faith and when they became a Christian. And she said that, I don't know if it was one or multiple students in the youth department had written that they were a Christian because they were born into a Christian family. Let me tell you something, folks. It is a blessing to be born into a Christian family. I was born into a Christian family, and I've thanked God for that for many times. But being born into a Christian family does not make you a Christian. Sitting next to Don McClune in church on Sunday morning does not make you a Christian. It's a good seat. But it's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that you have a born-again experience, that you accept Jesus Christ in your heart. And you understand that He has saved you from something. But you can't know that unless you know the Word. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is not one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, folks, when we know this part of the word, we can apply it to our lives and we can say to somebody who's struggling in a life of sin and a life of meaninglessness, and you say, you know what, I was there. And through God's word, I come to understand another way to live. Another way to live. Apply the word to your life. Apply the word to their life. You know, share with people. Not in a judgmental way. See, a lot of times when we share the scriptures, we a lot of times want to share the scriptures that deal with disobedience in that person's life. When in reality, what we need to do is we need to share the scriptures that talk about grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. Because I'm going to show you a video in just a minute that it's going to be about this lady. And she's going to say, listen, I know I'm a bad person. I don't need somebody to tell me I'm a bad person. I need somebody to tell me that I am loved. Now, here's the third thing. Let me get this third thing in here so we can move on. How to? Just be a genuine person. Just be a genuine Christian blank. And I'll let you fill in the blank. Now what I mean by that, and the optimal word there is genuine. Be a genuine Christian, fill in the blank. A genuine Christian man. A genuine Christian woman. Not an adherent to any religion of the world, but to be a genuine Christian. That I follow the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ. That I want to be a genuine Christian man, a genuine Christian woman, a genuine Christian father, genuine Christian mother, genuine Christian brother, sister, neighbor, friend, worker, employee, neighbor, whatever. Fill in the blank. But the important thing here is that you interact with other people in that, whatever that sphere is, in a genuine Christian way. Because that's what they need to see. Think about it, folks. Can you recall the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Or at least told somebody about how important faith is to you? I mean, when was the last time that you invited someone to believe in Christ as you do? There's nothing more exhilarating in life than to share with someone else what God has done for you, through you, in spite of you. How the Word has shaped you and changed your life, and how that same Word can shape and change someone else's life. And when you see a life genuinely changed by that kind of understanding, that kind of acceptance, it is an amazing thing. But yet it is so easy to be quiet. You see, in Paul's mind, it was impossible to be quiet. In Romans, he actually says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And you know what, folks? If I believe that, I should not be ashamed of that. Because when I don't talk about who I am and what's most important to me, I mean, when I can freely talk about the weather and my kids and clothes and sports and television, but yet when somebody brings up the name of Jesus, all I can hear is crickets. There's something wrong with that. I mean, Jesus seemed to say to Nicodemus that our faith must not be something that we hide. Paul says here that we cannot be ashamed of the power of the gospel, because if we know the power of the gospel, then how in the world can we be silent about that? But that's what the devil's done. And you know what I think? I think to a large degree, it's because we misunderstand what people are wanting, what people are looking for. The devil has convinced us that nobody cares, nobody wants the message of the gospel anymore. That the gospel is not as powerful as the word says that it is. And the devil has convinced us that therefore we just need to be quiet. And if people find faith, that's wonderful. But we should not engage ourselves in helping them find that faith. I think sometimes we just need to hear from somebody that genuinely tells us what's on their heart and what they're looking for. And I got a lady that's going to tell you that this morning. So take a look at this and give it your attention here for just a few minutes.
When's it going to happen? Here I am. There you are. Here I am, desperate for love, for truth. What are you going to do when you leave this building? Are you going to share with me what you've been learning here today? Or are you just going to bottle it up and pull it out next week for your friends? Now, when I say share, I'm not talking about every tactic you've used on me in the past, like judging my every move, telling me I'm a bad person, pointing fingers, giving me disgusting looks. And my favorite is when you tell me that I'm lost. I don't even know what that means to be lost. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? Now, I know I'm a bad person. I've done bad things, but I don't need you to tell me that. What I need is for you to pick me up when I fall down, to be there when I'm broken. Yes, there's something missing in me. There's a void in my heart that I don't know how to fill. You have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. You know that person that I need to know. So I'm watching your every move. I'm watching where you go and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine to know that there's something more here than this. I mean, this can't be it, really. And I think you know that. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, ready and willing to do whatever it takes. Hey, it may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. But I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. Honestly, I'll probably resist you. I'll probably argue with you and laugh at you. Even when you fall, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. So I'm going to ask you, when's it going to happen?
You know, the amazing thing is that we're told over and over again in society that the way people change is by a friend sharing with them the nature of a loving God. She said in this little video, she said, I don't know if you noticed it, she said, stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he is. And the reality is that God needs each of us to reach someone that maybe only we can reach. But the only way we can do that is by just sharing our story and how God has changed us and saved us and giving us hope and a future. The only way we can do that is by the application of that living, breathing, active word in our own lives and letting people see that change can be and can happen for them as well. And then for us to be genuine, to be genuinely Christian in the way that we love and interact and care about people. That's what she wanted. That's what she needed. And that's the kind of believer that you and I really need to be. You know, as I said to you, year in and year out, decade after decade, statistics show that people come to faith in Jesus by a clear, huge majority because of a friend sharing the message with them. You see, you think that it's because of what I do up here, but not usually. It's usually because of a friend. I remember that happening exactly in my life that way. You see, relationships are the way God has chosen to change the world. And it's the way that He changes people today. God's primary path for bringing people into the kingdom is through your friendship with those folks and mine as well. God has a plan for saving the world. It's through His people. It's through us. So let's take that position very, very serious. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask this morning that you would encourage us and help us to live a true, genuine life of faith in you. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we have to share our faith with others, to genuinely love and care about people, Lord, and where they are in life. And that, God, you've brought us through so much, and you want us to show to other people what you can bring them through. God, teach us, convince us that it's not our job to change people's behavior. It's our job, Lord, to show them that they can change their state from a state of lostness to a state of forgiveness. From a state of judgment to a state of grace. That, Lord, to change the behavior, that's your job and your Spirit's job. And for most of us, that lasts a lifetime. So, God, help us to overcome our judgmental attitude. Help us to overcome, Lord, our penchant to be silent. And may we genuinely speak up about our dynamic love and affection that we have for you, Lord, and what it's done for us. May it happen, Father, because of our faith and because of the clear voice that we use to share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.